He's the home voiceover studio engineer to the stars in Los Angeles, California. A Virginia Tech grad whose knowledge of the latest recording gear is second to none. He's a voice actor and the home studio master, hailing from Buffalo, New York. His home studio skills and knowledge of voiceover recording is unmatched. When Dan and George talk shop, people listen. And the talk continues tonight. Welcome to East West Audio Body Shop. And now, live from his high-tech facility in Santa Monica and his penthouse studio in Buffalo, here are George Whittam and Dan Leonard.
Well, hi there. I'm Dan Leonard in the East.
And I'm George Whittam in the West.
And together we are East West Audio Body Shop. Well, we certainly have a lot more energy than we did in that promo, I'll tell you.
I know. I'm working on pumping up my energy level doing those promos, but it really makes me realize, you know, it really is acting, and I don't have any acting experience training. I gotta pump it up. Maybe I need to take a class.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, it's not like there aren't any in your neighborhood.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I mean, I'm sure there's like one every night somewhere. This is our 93rd episode, so you've had 93 episodes of doing a TV show. I figured you were going to catch on sooner or later.
Yeah, so. Slowly but surely. I'm amping up the energy level a little bit, trying to be a little more animated, you know.
All right.
Looking into the camera, you know, stuff like that. I'm working on
concept,
it.
Huh? Yeah, I mean, Friday night when we cut that. That was after the mixer of the Voice World in Toronto. And I'm like, you know, I mean, I'm in my hotel room and I'm like, yeah, look, there's the CN Tower. And, you know, there's one thing about voiceover mixers. Mm. It's always too loud to talk. And with all the voice people in there, it's like, well, it's going to be fun. It'd be great meeting all these people. And I met some wonderful people up in Toronto. Mm. I was just really hoarse the next day. Yeah. I mean, I met people who were one guy who's a professional town crier.
I mean,
there's actually town crier
clubs,
you know, competitions.
Oh, competitions.
This guy is rated fourth in the world in town crying.
Wow. That's cool.
Hear ye.
That's awesome.
You meet some interesting folks. Then there was another, a young lady came up to me and, you know, she heard my name. She came over to me and she says, I love, you know, listening to your show. I listen to it all the time. And I'm like, well, why don't you watch the show? I mean, you lose all the visuals. She goes, no, I like listening to it in the car. Then I look down and I see her seeing iDog.
She loves listening to it in the car with a seeing iDog?
No, she doesn't drive. She's blind.
Right. She's driven in the car.
Yeah. She's listening in the car while being driven. She likes listening to our show. So she caught me and I really wanted to whap her one there because she knew I had no idea because she was looking at me right. She said, oh, hi, Dan. How are you? I'm like,
If I was blind, I would love to fool people as long as possible. So I totally get you. Whoever you are out there, if you're watching tonight, I think that's awesome.
I have her card here somewhere. I'll have to dig that up during the evening. But it was wonderful. And, of course, thanks to Stephanie Cicerelli and David Cicerelli from Voices.com. It was a very, very fun conference to be at as a presenter because I met a lot of fresh faces there, a lot of new people and a
Wide-eyed.
Lot of people. There were a few deers in the headlights, but it was a good crowd of people, and it was fun to meet them, and it was great just people coming up to me saying, "I love your show," and you know, that's not something I'm not really used to.
I know, but
usually as voiceover, we're lonely. We're just these faceless voices.
Exactly.
That's not the case here. And and this is going to be a nutso week because we're in the final, you know, production rehearsals for Pirates of Penzance this week. Now, your guys are thinking, Dan's doing local community theater. This is a really professional crew of people. This is going to be lots of fun.
Do you guys have a live pit orchestra and everything?
Live pit orchestra?
Ooh, yeah.
And actually, they're behind us.
Trippy behind a screen or something?
No. They're in a gazebo behind us.
Oh, okay. They're on stage. Cool.
And they're on stage, and they will be wearing military uniforms. So it's going to be actually kind of cute. There'll be this military band playing the music for this show, which is, you know, British officers and, you know, stuff like that. And so we can't see the conductor.
Yeah.
So they're like, well, how are we going to do this? And I'm like, I figured it out. Took some coax, we're running it all the way across the theater up to the booth in the back. And of course our TV, you know, from our bedroom, it's a good 30-inch TV, and that's up in there, so we can now see the conductor conducting like this, and we're looking up out at the audience, and we're getting all our cues. And
brilliant.
It is. Of course, we won't have a TV in our bedroom for a week, so I guess we'll have to find something else to do.
That's what iPads are for. You guys will lay in bed next to each other, each holding your own iPad. You know,
that's... Yeah, no. She's always playing Words with Friends with Leslie Diamond.
Oh, okay.
So it says, how does she come up with these words? Anyway, how things out in Southern California?
Pretty good. We got some weird weather. It's overcast and windy tomorrow and Tuesday. We're having rain. Sounds like they just quelled a nice forest or a wildfire. You know, it's like we're not supposed to be having brush fires in April and May. We are not supposed to be having, it's supposed to have been very wet for the last, you know, 4 months. And so we're having fire. It's pretty freaky. I think people are a little bit worried that we're having fires already. And then, you know, 30 to 60 mile an hour wind gusts in Glendale and out, you know, it's been a little crazy, but here on the coast, no complaints really. It's been pretty pleasant. And the fires usually don't make it down to the beach. So,
yeah. Okay. Is there still snow up at Mammoth?
At Mammoth, I'm pretty sure there is. I stopped looking at the ski reports because I just get depressed because it was not a very good year. I didn't get to go at all to my local mountain, which is called Mount Baldy, for a good reason. There was not much snow on it this year. But, you know, so I didn't look that much. But I know there was snow. That Mammoth gets snow and keeps snow until June sometimes. Hmm. It's one of those places where they will stay open until there's only rocks on the mountain. You know, as long as there's a strip of snow to ski on, they like to be the last ones to close, you know. So
right.
It's a pretty trippy place.
Yeah. Yes. Well, spring has sprung here in Western New York. I mean, the leaves are all coming out. Our allergies are just at absolute peak. And so lots of sniffling going on around here.
Gosh, I don't miss that. I don't miss that at all, man.
Yes. Yes. And I was talking to a friend of ours down in New Zealand the other day, and she was saying, all the leaves are falling off the trees. It's fall here. And I'm like, oh, look at this. There's all the leaves are coming out here. We traded.
Isn't that good? It's just, I know it's science. I know how this all science. Works, but it still trips me out all the time. How we're on the opposite clock, you know, every year. It's so funny.
I know, especially when you're working with people over there and they call you at 2 a.m. and go, oh, yeah, I forgot there's a time switch. Anyway, let's get on with the meat of the matter. We got a fabulous guest tonight. You know, I mean, we've had great people on, but it's like one after another. We got a guy whose voice you will know. And I think a lot of you know his name, Rick Wasserman, who is he's the trailer promo voice for AMC, you know. Mad Men on AMC. Well, how come I'm not doing it? You know, well, we're going to ask him about that. We'll talk about promo. I mean, I know we talk a lot about promo, but the real elite people are doing that. And we want to find out, how are they doing this stuff? You know, how are they making these big bucks? What's their secret? And they'll go, it's a secret. So Rick Wasserman will be joining us in a little bit. I know you've got some interesting stuff to talk about. My tip of the week about sound isolation myths. Had a lot of talk about that over the weekend when we were in Toronto. But you wanted to talk about mic technique.
Yeah, I know. We've all kind of talked about it. We've touched on it many different times. I figured, you know, I've got some more mics in here that I don't usually have on hand. So I thought it might be a nice opportunity to kind of demonstrate mic positioning for large diaphragm condenser mics, like exactly like the one Dan has, or the or a shotgun mic, because I have a 416 here that I don't normally have, so I can.
I just bought one.
You just bought a 416, eh?
Coming in the mail probably tomorrow.
Sweet. Well, you know, it's an interesting microphone, and it has a certain sound, and it has a very unique pickup pattern, and it's just on a very unusual microphone, and it's just one of those mics I never could understand. Why is it being used in voiceover? But right now, you guys know I'm speaking into my headset microphone, which is why I can do this while I talk, which is kind of fun. And it sounds pretty good. But, you know, let's switch over to the AT3035, which I think is, this one.
Exactly what I'm using.
So same mic that Dan has, and all of a sudden it's a lot more full and just round and
smooth sound. I mean, what a difference, right? I mean, when you hear the two back to back, it's like night and day. And I would probably use it more. It's just now that I'm so used to my headset mic, I've gotten really lazy. I never, ever have to think about mic placement, consistency. I never have to be on mic. It's just there. So that's why I think, you know, a really good headset mic someday could become maybe one of the next big voiceover mics, especially for long-form narration where you're working hours and hours on end. But anyway, so the headset mic is right here. It's really, really small, as you can see right there. It's a tiny, tiny little element. And the technology now has gone to the point where they can get these to sound nearly as good as one of these. And if you ask DPA microphones, which I think I had a little NAMM show clip from them a couple months ago, they'll tell you that the quality is definitely there. In fact, if you saw Les Mis in the theaters, almost all the dialogue, actually singing, because most of it's singing, was actually sung on camera live with a microphone that had an element this big on it, right? So the technology is amazing. But
one day more.
Yeah. But, you know, right now I'm speaking into the Audio Technica, and my technique always is, how can you tell which mic is on? Scratch the grill. It's very obvious. Never, ever tap on the mic or bang on the mic, especially if you're at a commercial studio. Matter of fact, just don't even touch the mic at a commercial studio. The engineers are really particular about that stuff. But scratching the mic in your own studio is a really great way to find out, is that the right mic? I got paid two times in the last week to go to someone's house and do this. Oh, you're not using the right mic. You know, and people feel very embarrassed, you know, when you tell them this, and it's sometimes some pretty high-end clients of mine that run into this problem. So make sure you're using the right mic. So I'm using a 3035, and as you can see, it's a little bit above my mouth. So here's the bottom of the mic. If I was to make an imaginary line, it's right here, right below my nose. But so if I had a copy stand, I'd probably have it right here in front of my face. Let me get it more on camera here. Oops. There we go. So if I had a copy stand, I'd probably want to have it right here, nice up and high. And if it's not high enough where it's literally at eye level, there's nothing wrong with this mic at getting up even higher. Let me get this 416 out of my face. there's nothing wrong with getting any large diaphragm condenser like this. As long as the room acoustics are pretty well sorted out, you can work it at a pretty good distance. We'll do the good old hang 10. You know, thumb and pinky to mic technique. And as you can see, I can be at a nice distance from this mic and still sound very much on mic. In fact, I can turn myself to the side now. Now I'm facing at about maybe 30 degrees from the microphone. And again, if this 416 wasn't here, I had this huge field of view in front of me, completely unobstructed, where I could put a copy stand. And another beautiful thing is because the microphone is facing towards my mouth, but I'm not facing towards the mic, I don't have to worry about plosives. Popping a mic is pretty much impossible when the microphone is either slightly to the side or slightly above your mouth, because those balls of air, poof, they shoot out pretty much in a straight line, depending on your mouth and if you're frowning or whatever. It can go at different angles, but it generally shoots out pretty directionally, and the sound of your voice radiates out more in a radial pattern from your mouth, sort of in all directions. So you can be a little bit further off the mic, again, as long as your room acoustics are in pretty good shape. If you're in a small booth without really, really well-treated room, the further off that microphone you get, the more it sounds like that little box that you're in. It gets really boxy sounding. And products like Dan's Studio Suite, which we'll talk about later, I'm sure, do a pretty good job at soaking up all that low to mid-range junk that the microphone is hearing. And that can go a long way to dealing with that problem. But if you can get further off the mic, it sounds more natural. You've got more room to move around the microphone and be more flexible. And as long as you keep that axis of the pickup pointing at your mouth, you can move a heck of a lot around the microphone and still sound like you're on mic. So that leads me to the next one, and that would be the 416. And this mic is a lot more difficult to work because of that, the incredible tight pickup pattern. Let me switch mics here. So now I'm on the 416. Let me make sure the EQ is flat too. Yes, EQ is flat. Drastically different sounding microphone, isn't it? I mean, it's just, it's incredibly incredible how, matter of fact, it's so different. I'm making sure this is not my headset mic that's on, right? Like, I'm like, are you sure this is the same? You know,
sounds the same. Somewhat.
It's just, they're so different once you've listened to yourself on one for a while, you know? But anyway, so the 416 is an interesting animal because it's got a much narrower pickup pattern. So if I go slightly off to the side one way or the other and talk off axis a bit, this microphone just starts losing the top end. It just starts sounding less and less present. And I'm of the line of thought where that this microphone works really well up high and pointed down. So I'll bring my camera a little bit more. And I think this microphone works a little bit better pointed down towards your mouth, or even more so down towards your chest, because then it can pick up more chest resonance, which, depending on the acoustics of the room, can sound really good. I find in a large room, or if you're in an office where the entire room is treated and there's not a bass resonance problem, you end up sounding a little bit on the thin side with a 416 because it doesn't really have much proximity effect. As you can see, I can get further and closer to this microphone, and while my volume changes, the low end on my voice does not change a whole lot. So, you know, you sometimes you need all the bottom end you can get, and when you point the mic down towards your chest more, you know, when you talk, you can feel your voice, you can feel your chest vibrating, and the microphone, if pointed at it, will pick it up. So it gets a little bit more of a rich sound. But what if you have to speak straight into it? I'm not a fan of the sound of this mic straight in. I think it sounds a little strident. I think it sounds a little mid-rangey. I think it's not my favorite position, but some people find that for the type of read they're doing, when they have to really cut into a mix with a lot of music and stuff, that they like working it this way. Well, then you need a pop screen, and there's not a lot of pop screens out there that are made to work on a 416. Yes, you can use almost any gooseneck pop screen you want. I find them sometimes to be really awkward. I just can't seem to get in position correctly, and they can be frustrating. So the same guy that made the pop screen that we sold with our little logo on it, Ewabs pop screen, I started talking to him, Mike Frenchick. I said, hey, man, what if we made one for 416? Well, this is what he came up with. This thing literally slides and straps right onto the barrel of the microphone. And I can speak pretty much straight into it. Now, with any pop screen and any microphone, you may still get pops. The element is so sensitive that if you do blast a ball of air straight down the barrel, so to speak, it will pop. So it's not a perfect solution, but if you need a pop screen to be able to work it this tightly and not have to worry so much about plosives, this pop screen's pretty cool. It takes up almost no space.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, so people were wondering, does this pop screen change the sound of the mic? Because this thing is strapped onto the barrel of the shotgun. Is it going to make a difference? Well, let's find out. So let's pull this thing off. So now I'm talking into the mic without the pop screen on. And my answer is yes. It definitely makes a difference. I can hear a distinct difference when this thing is not on the microphone.
It sounds much cleaner now.
It sounds much cleaner. So this is basically, we did a live beta test on the show where I got to, because I never really AB'd this thing before. I tried it and saw it worked well, but it's clear to me now that this thing strapped onto the barrel of the mic absolutely changes the voicing of the mic. It really does. So, you know, this thing, while it's a great idea, the problem may lie in a couple things. It could be, one, these concentric rings causing resonance. And two, it could be the Velcro strap, which is surrounding part of the microphone. But if I put my finger around the mic where the strap was, it doesn't change that much. So I'm thinking it must be these rings. What they're doing is they're blocking the sound and reflecting it back into the mic, changing the tone of the mic.
That's
so anyway, might have to go back to the drawing board on this design, but it was a cool way to test it. But anyway, that's my little spiel on mic placement, keeping the plosives at bay, keeping the popping at bay, keeping the proximity effect at bay. Sometimes you can work them like really tight as long as that thing's right down the middle of your mouth.
And you're not saying Peter Piper picked a peck of pickled peppers.
Yeah, exactly.
But you can say Peter Piper picked a peck of pickled peppers and not pop if you've got proper mic placement.
When it's properly placed. Exactly.
in Peter's Pickled Peppers. Yeah. Now, somebody was asking, Tom Daniels asking, you know, I'm always, you know, saying, you know, don't, you know, it doesn't, the mic doesn't really matter. Why would I buy a 416? Mm-hmm. A couple of reasons. One, as I mentioned, because I can. Two, because Pat Sweeney bought one and I have to do everything Pat does because I really look up to Pat. And three, because I've always wanted one. Mm-hmm. And I think tonight's a great night to talk about it because we've got Rick Wasserman on, who I'm sure probably uses a 416 for the promo work he does. Mm-hmm. And we can actually get into this conversation of, you know, if you want to break into promo, I mean, as I always say, it's not the mic that's going to get you work. But if you get work in there, you've got to use the tools that are the prime tools in that particular marketplace. So that's why I bought
Dan,
one.
Dan, you've moved in the last 3 minutes, right?
Moved where?
I mean, moved at all. Like your picture's totally frozen. But you know, I don't think it's you. I think it's my Skype. I have the beach ball of death on my screen right now.
But you can still hear me.
I still hear you just fine. Just the video froze. So we'll take a break here in a minute, and then I'll call you back.
I think that'll work fine. So you can point to the screen now and make everybody drink.
Exactly. Well, cool. Thanks for listening to my spiel on mic placement, and I guess we'll be right back in just a few minutes with Dan reanimated again. So
right.
Don't go anywhere.
We'll be right back.
VO Studio Tech. Recording made simple.
Hi, I'm Peter McHugh.
This is Jim Tasker from Los Angeles, California.
Hi, this is Bill Ratner in Los Angeles.
Hi, this is Scott Rummel here in Yorba Linda, California.
Hi, my name is Rick Wasserman.
Hi, this is Tom Kane.
Hi, my name is Vanessa Marshall.
Hi, my name is Zurich.
Hi, I'm Mary McKittrick.
Randy Thomas chiming in.
Hi, this is Joe Szymanski.
Hey, this is Rick Robles.
Hi, my name is John Patrick Armstrong.
I was turned on to George by none other than Don LaFontaine, who always swore by his helmet.
George is absolutely awesome.
ISDN, Source Connect, Phone Patch, FTP, you name it, Georgia set it up.
It's really the best thing I've ever done for myself. I feel free, safe, fearless, like anything is possible in here.
Unless you like to look for opportunities to waste time, call George.
And he did all of that, long distance over the phone and the internet.
I'm very happy with George, and I cherish him.
Thanks, George. You make it easy.
And now, back to East West Audio Body Shop, where every week, it's Apollo 13.
Santa Monica, we have a problem.
I always love to play that little drop, you know, whenever something goes wrong, just to remind everybody.
It's, you know, two cans, a string, and two geeks. but we don't speak geek here.
We try not to.
We try not to. So I am unfrozen now?
You are unfrozen. You're a thawed, unfrozen caveman.
Okay. Some people think about, well, you're just an unfrozen caveman. You used to fear the sun. Anyway, good reference there. Yeah. So let's get into...
Just sit back and relax. It's time for some announcements.
All right. Yeah, well, we did the VoiceOver World debriefing, so we don't have to really talk about that. But it was fun, and again, thanks to Voices.com, and Ashley did a great job putting that together. And there was 200 people there. I think it was 220. Mm-hmm. And it was a lot of fun, and like I said, it was a lot of fun meeting a few new people. Dave McRae, he's the Rick Wasserman of Canada.
Yeah.
You know, he was, you know, he does, you know, the promos for The Housewives of Vancouver.
The Housewives of Vancouver.
Vancouver. That's right. Now Pat's just sitting there going, He's making fun of Canada again. I can't make fun of Canada. It's my neighbor. You don't make fun of your neighbors. You can rib them, but you can't make fun of them. And just being in Toronto, the weather was glorious. It's a beautiful city that is just rising into the sky. One of the fastest growing cities in North America. And I've watched it for 50 years get bigger and bigger. I remember driving into Toronto and seeing population, you know, 950,000, 1.2 million next time, 2.5 million next, 4.9 million. This city is just growing. Yeah, it's just huge. And it grows into the sky. Mm-hmm. Just beautiful city. So thank you, Toronto. It was just wonderful. What else we got on here? You've got an iPad recording webinar coming up, don't you?
I am. I'm going to do one on iPad recording and just about how to make your iPad sing when you're trying to travel. Or maybe if that's your only equipment, your only appropriate computer. Some of you guys have noisy PCs or a noisy Mac that you just can't record with. So this will be how to record with the iPad effectively, what audio devices you can use, and what software you can use for marking up your script, that kind of stuff. So yeah. Tune in for that.
Yeah. iPad's the way to go. 2 years. We still have a year or so to make good on that one, that everybody's just going to be using iPads.
I think it's just a matter of time. I think it needs to feel a little bit more like a computer. I think it needs to feel a little bit more like a laptop, but it's getting close. Microsoft Surface Pro is really close to what that ideal would be. And if Mac comes out with like the removable keyboard, touchscreen, iPad, MacBook Air mashup computer, I think it's going to be all over.
Maybe. Another thing, our good friend Uncle Roy Yokelson is doing something in doing a webinar this week on May 7th. New mm-hmm. York, New York, going to make it there with the wonderful Betty Zoller and Hugh Klitsky. So you might want to go over to VoiceOver Extra and sign up for that one just to see Roy alone. I mean, that's worth the price of admission.
I'm trying to see what it's specifically about. Learn the peculiarities of pronouncing the word peculiarity. Now, learn the peculiarities of this market and what it takes to succeed. So basically, it's about succeeding in New York.
So excellent.
If you're a New Yorker, be there.
Right. Let's see, what else we got going on? Oh, the survey. Now, how is this going to work?
Well, we're working on a not ridiculously long, but probably a 10 or less question survey that we will post using like Survey Monkey or something. And we'll just put the link up in the Google group, or not the Google group, the Facebook group. Because that seems to be where the most of you guys are kind of engaging. We'll put it up in the Facebook group, and then we'll ask you guys to participate in the survey. We'll cut it off at a certain time. And it's just going to ask stuff about the show. You know, what do you like? What don't you like? How did you hear about it? What are you getting out of it? Do you like the podcast? Do you listen to the podcast version? And just to help us better focus where we go next. What's the next step for EWABS? What are we going to do to make the show even better? And so we'd really appreciate anybody that can fill that out. It will not take probably more than 5 minutes.
Absolutely. We need the information. It'll make our show better.
It's, I think, the first time in over 2 years we've been doing this that we've asked people to do a survey. So
right.
We appreciate
it. Yes. Let's see. We're still taking memberships. If you want service from George and I, you know, you want us at your beck and call 24 hours a day, 6 days a week, because we're busy on this seventh day. We don't rest on this seventh day, but we do work on this seventh day. $39.95 a month, and you can have access to us and get answers to your questions and service and that sort of thing. So that's a good deal. We have any donors this week?
You know, if I missed you, I apologize. I don't think we got any this week that I noticed. So, but we can take your donations at any time.
Just look right above George's head.
Yeah, if you're on ewabs.com.
There's a big donate button. Yeah, there's a donate button there at ewabs.com. And we need your help because it's not as cheap to do this show as it used to be because so many people like it, which is great.
Yeah, the more of you that watch on Ustream Live, the more it costs to do because that's how we eliminate those national ads that would otherwise be interrupting the show at random, which is really annoying. I can tell you from experience, especially after the event that I helped with Ann Ganguza last week where they had the ads. It was very frustrating for people. So anyway, that's how we keep that from happening. We pay off Ustream to keep them from doing that, and your help is what allows us to do that.
That's right, and we totally appreciate it. Also, thanks to our sponsors, Harlan Hogan and VoiceOver Extra, because they make it happen here and help us out to do this show every week for you. Studio suit update. It's still here. Apparently, it was a big hit at FAF Camp.
That's great.
I got a lot of pictures with people. Apparently, Anthony Gettig, our wonderful friend Anthony, you know, sort of our online, you know, our helper in the chat room there.
Yeah.
Although he's still at FAF Camp, so he's not there now in the chat room. he was manning the studio suit booth, and I got a lot of pictures of people in front of the studio suit with a handlebar mustache. So, yeah, great marketing, Anthony. That was just fabulous. So it's available. Just go to vostudiosuit.com, and you can see what it's all about and hear the amazing difference it makes. And you can order it from there, too. Cool. And speaking of which, oh, yes, like us on Facebook. We got to get people over to the other page. Explain that one quickly.
I mean, oh, man, really, you know, Facebook. Yeah. You guys are all dealing with Facebook. So you probably have a Facebook account and a page. And so we're trying to get as many of you guys to move from the East West Audio Body Shop account to the East West Audio Body Shop page on Facebook. So please do like us on Facebook. So we have one, you know, centered area to communicate things to you guys. And so please do that. And we are on Twitter, although there's not a whole lot of activity happening on there. We really put most of our energy into Facebook, but at @EWABS_show is us on Twitter. And you really should be subscribed to us on YouTube. That is probably arguably the most important, because then you will never miss a show. You can always go to your YouTube page, click on the our channel on the left-hand side and watch all those back episodes. And also my SoundGun YouTube page has episodes 1 through 30-something. I don't know. There's some of the old ones are over on my YouTube page. But anyway, thanks. And the podcast. We finally have the podcast online.
You can drive anywhere you want and listen to us.
That's right. Thanks to Lee for helping get – Lee Penny helped us get that back on the air. So
absolutely. So absolutely. All right. Well, it's now time for Tip of the Week. Boy, we're really rambling on here.
I know.
But it's all great information.
I hope so.
It's just one great thing after another. It's been a fun week. Let's go on to my Tip of the Week, talk a little bit about – sound isolation myths.
Let's face it, your house is not the quietest place around to record it.
So, how do you compensate? If you ascribe to some tales of acoustical fantasy, you'll soon discover the folly of traditional myths. Look, no place can be truly soundproofed. You can reduce outside noise, sometimes drastically with proper room construction. But look, even the best studios will allow some noise to intrude, particularly in the lower frequency range caused by jet aircraft and large trucks. Here's what you do. Carefully evaluate how quiet your studio must be to achieve the recording noise floor you require, and take into consideration when outside noise is least at the hours during which you need to work. Sound absorption and sound transmission are the same. No, they're not. Sound absorption is the reduction of reflected sound within a room. Sound transmission is the passing of sound from one room to another through the building's construction. There is no such thing as soundproof foam. Adding sound absorption in a room will not significantly improve outside noise through your walls. The only way to physically reduce through-wall transmission is with special massive or decoupled construction techniques. Here's a classic. Windows in a studio must have two panels with different angles for best noise reduction. Here's the fact. The primary reason to angle one panel is to reduce glare and doesn't reduce noise transmission at all. However, the greater the air volume between the two glass panels, the better. So when one panel is angled, you're actually reducing the volume. So space your two panels of glass as far apart as practical. But what do you need to look at in your own home? Carpeting is good for reducing room reverberation. Fact. Carpet provides good mid to high frequency sound absorption, which is the frequency range of speech.
Carpet should be avoided in spaces where you have unamplified speech because it will be rendering the rooms acoustically non-responsive while allowing low frequencies to go unmuted.
Carpeting's good in one place, on the floor, as part of a whole palette of tools you can use to reduce room reverberation.
So use tried and true techniques to minimize your acoustical challenges. And that's my tip of the week.
Got a lot of those questions this weekend, too. I mean, a lot of people who are not experienced really haven't set up a home studio. This is the information that's out there, especially on YouTube. You know, here's how you got to have a big window and it's got to be angled. No, you don't. That's an old radio studio thing. It's to prevent glare. It's got to be angled like that.
Yeah.
And that was the reason for it. Anyway, yeah. So that's my tip of the week. You know, I'm looking for some other ideas. If there's something you want me to talk about on tip of the week, you know, email us at Gmail, at ewebshop@gmail.com. 93 episodes. I've finally memorized it, George.
Almost.
Yes, ewebshop@gmail.com. I want to help you guys out. Let me know what you want me to talk about on tip of the week. We've got 50 of them in the can. I think you can watch all the other ones too. So anyway, we've got Rick Wasserman coming up. This will be exciting. This guy's big time pro.
Yeah, he's great. And just a great guy.
He certainly seems to be. Well, we'll find out. Yeah, I mean. Maybe he's not, you know, but I'm sure we'll find out. Anyway.
Oh, man. Okay.
Whatever.
Moving on.
All right. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Rick Wasserman standing by to talk to us here on East West Audio Shop, Audi Body Shop. It's been a long day.
Welcome back to eWebs. We were expecting you, but we still didn't bake a cake. Here's Dan and George.
Well, what a sweet evening it is, though. That doesn't make sense now. It just doesn't work. Damn.
And the best part of all is that my shot right now is directly on top of yours, which I think is really classy. So I'm going to work on that. But in the meantime,
does that work any better?
Yeah, there we go. There we go.
Okay.
In the meantime, you talk to Rick and okay, welcome him in like in a real classy way.
Myself up here a little bit better. Rick Wasserman, welcome to East West Audio Body Show. Hey,
thanks very much. Wow, I'm so proud to be on this fantastic dog and pony show.
Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah.
With there's dogs in here? Well, yeah, the dogs, the ponies, we don't let them in the house.
And Dan, officially, I am a nice guy. George is right. I am a nice guy.
I was going to ask you that.
I am.
So I figured.
Tells me I am. So.
If George asks you to be on, you got to be okay.
Rick just plays bad guys on TV.
Yeah, all the time. What's wrong with that?
What shows have you been on?
Well, the last thing I was on was Burn Notice. On USA?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Played the bad guy. I mean, come on. Look at his face.
I think the voice is even more important than the face.
That's what it was. You know, I mean, going through college and grad school, I went to college for acting and grad school. I got my MFA. And I always played either someone very, very old or the bad guy. And it's because of my voice. And then, of course, when I got out of grad school, I immediately had to start auditioning for young Jewish guys. And I had no idea how to do it. Lost. Lost.
Not from personal experience, huh?
Yeah, nothing.
Interesting. Yes. So where are you from originally?
So originally, I'm from Kalamazoo, Michigan.
Oh, Anthony Getty territory.
Yeah, one of our fans is from there, yeah.
Is that right? In fact, I have the T-shirt that says, yes, there really is a Kalamazoo. Yeah.
I got a gal in Kalamazoo.
Do you, Dan?
No, I don't.
And then I grew up in Philadelphia, and I went to school in Kansas City, and then I lived in Manhattan. I've been all over the place. And now I'm in California. I've been here for about a decade. I lived in West Hollywood for a long, long time, and my family has just moved. George has been there to our house in, I say Malibu. It's in a place called Montanito. Ever heard of it?
No. In fact, I've been there and I've never heard of it.
Yeah. No one's heard of it, which I guess is a good thing.
Makes it hard to find then, doesn't it?
It is. You have to go through the bat tunnel. It's between Malibu and Calabasas. So somewhere in between is Montanito.
I'm going to call it Malabasas.
Mountain Nest, yes.
I'm going to call it Malabasas from now on.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
You just go up to the sign and paint the letters on there. Yeah. And
like, it's a beautiful spot. Horses and all kinds of stuff.
It's crazy. There's no billboards or concrete or anything. Of course, recently there were a lot of fires, and we'd rather not have that.
Yeah.
You could smell it. I mean, it was creepy, but
yeah,
everyone's okay.
Yeah, good.
Yeah. Oh, I think I've been up there. Isn't there like a winding road that goes down to the PCH from up there?
And there are a couple. Yes, there's a couple. Okay. We're right next to Pepperdine. If you're ever hanging out at Pepperdine.
Yes.
Stop by the old studio.
Yes. We drove by there last spring, George.
Yep, exactly.
By the way, I'd like to say, because of George, there's a number of voiceover people. It just turns out this way. We didn't look for them, but there are a couple of voiceover guys on my street. I guess it's because it's very quiet out here. There's no insulation in my studio like there was in my old studio in West Hollywood. We did everything of that thing.
Yeah.
But they don't have access to ISDN.
Mm-hmm.
And I do.
Mm-hmm.
And make sure to rub that in their faces as often as possible.
Maybe you could make a little bit of money off of them. Maybe.
That's a good idea. Maybe. That's a good idea. Once in a while I get that text like, how are you doing it? I wish I could tell you.
I have a little collection plate at the door there. Anyway, so you've done a lot of great acting stuff. I mean, you're a successful actor, and now you're doing doing the voice work too, and I assume still acting. You've actually been on Broadway, haven't you?
I have. I was in The Lion King for 3 years, on Broadway, and then they asked if I would come here to Los Angeles to do it at the Pantages Theater, and I said, well, yeah, sure, why not? So I came out here and never went back. So that's how I actually showed up out here.
Who are you in The Lion King?
Rafiki? I played all the white guys.
All the white
guys. It's easiest to say that. I have played Zazu, Timon, Pumbaa, and Scar. And I believe to date the shortest Scar in history. More of a scratch than a scar, really. But it was incredibly great fun.
Yeah. I haven't seen Lion King yet, but I mean, I've seen video of it and the people on stilts. It's supposed to be magnificent.
It's pretty great. I at least like the first 8 minutes could potentially change your life. In fact, when my mother saw me in it the first time, my parents saw it a dozen times.
Sure.
The first time she saw it afterwards, she said, Rick, I can die now. I mean, very, very dramatic, my mother, but maybe that's where I get it from.
because
all the pomp and circumstance of this Broadway show, and it's something else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, really. But now you're doing promo work. How did you make the transition into that?
Oh, when I was doing Lion King, I was doing a lot of on-camera commercials. Like I was the zest guy, soaping up in the shower. Let me get rid of that image for you. Okay. I actually had to wax my chest for that.
Man.
At least I don't have to do that for voiceover.
That and pro wrestling. Those are the two jobs where you have to do that.
Oh, man. Dan, you ever have your nipples bleed? I don't want to get personal.
No.
You ever yelled, Kelly Clarkson? Yeah. Okay, sorry. Reference to a movie.
Anyway, I was doing on-camera commercials. I was doing the television that you could do in New York. I did my my Law & Order. Everybody has to do a Law & Order. but anyway, I was sitting down with my commercial agents, my on-camera commercial agents, kind of signing up another three-year contract or something like that. And it was one of those things where the voiceover agent walked by the office and he stuck his head in and he went, what did you just say? And I repeated, and he goes, do you do any voiceover? And I said, no. He went, get over here, get over here. And pulled me out of the meeting and stuck me in a booth. And it started just like that. So I think I probably auditioned for commercial stuff mostly, I don't know, for 2 or 3 weeks and nothing. I mean, I don't know what I was really doing. And then a promo audition came up. And I remember the booth director was not in that week. He was sick. So one of the secretaries took over.
Every good story starts with that. Somebody was sick.
I know. Isn't that
every, but it's true.
Even me.
It's so true. Anyway, so, sorry.
No, it's quite all right. So I got in the booth. This secretary knew that I was in Lion King. So I'm reading this promo. And he said, all right, stop. Just do it like Scar. I went, really? Yeah. Do it like Scar. And I did it and I booked it. And it was for HBO at the time. This is going to date me now. They were starting. They had already had The Sopranos and they had Sex and the City. And this was going to be their urban show. So they wanted a voice that sounded a little edgy and urban. And it was The Wire. It was a show called The Wire.
Oh, yeah.
So I was the voice of The Wire. And that's how it started. And from there, I started doing other projects for HBO. I still do projects for HBO. And then it just kind of trickled on from there.
And now you're with AMC.
And now I'm with AMC. So I did A&E. I fell into that I did A&E for 4 years. And then that went away. They rebranded. And I did Food Network just for a very, very small amount of time. But in between, I was doing a lot of other stuff, a lot of other promos for other networks. Not a whole lot of commercial stuff, but, you know, I was like the voice of Suzuki Cycles for a while. Not a lot. Mm-hmm. But then movie trailers started happening, so I started doing that. Always had an interest in animation and video games, but, you know, that didn't seem to come along until later, and then it really picked up. But then as soon as Food Network went away, all of a sudden there was AMC, and AMC was going through this change. You know, they used to play American movie classics.
Yes.
And they were trying out some original programming. And the first show they did was called Hustle. I don't think they made it. They bought it. It was an import. They got it from England. Huh. It didn't make any waves really. It had incredible actors in it. I thought it was a really good show. And then the very next thing they wanted to try was a show called Mad Men.
And that one went nowhere, didn't it?
No, nowhere. So then my voice kind of got attached to the original programming. And then the producers, I don't have to say this. I love to say it. They're wonderful, wonderful people. They really are. And they let me, as a voiceover guy, kind of take part in inventing the sound. So when they said, we got a new show, it's about zombies. Zombies. So what should it sound like? Well, come on. I mean, this is going to be great fun. I get to use my Halloween voice. So that's how we did The Walking Dead and then Breaking Bad and The Killing and, you know, Hell on Wheels. All these shows, they get to have their own unique sound.
Can I play a little spot from Mad Men?
Yeah, just from Mad Men.
Here, I got a little something from Mad Men here.
Yeah.
From The Sopranos executive producer comes a daring new series about how to sell the truth.
You're looking at the finest ad men in New York.
I'm the man. You seem to forget that sometimes.
Mad Men. Premiere episodes Thursday nights at 10, only on AMC.
Oh. Whew. You feeling that?
Yeah, it's
death. That's the voice I use when I want to creep out my wife.
Oh. Thanks.
Yeah. No, it's just because it's coming out of my face. That's the problem. It's not the voice. It's coming out of my head. You know, it's the problem.
So I've been doing AMC, and then the first big trailer campaign I got was Ray. Again, somebody thinks I sound black. I can say it, black. When they say, we want an urban read, they mean black. Just say black. It. It's okay. Yeah, okay. There's nothing wrong with it. Yeah. And that's how I got Ray and bought a car. So it was, do trailers. If you can do trailers, do trailers. But I have been doing a lot of documentaries. I'm one of the voices of the UFC. So I do their documentaries for the fighters in each fight.
Oh, okay.
And it was just a lot of fun because that's something I actually know. That and Food Network and AMC are things I know. I was the voice of ABC Daytime, meaning the soaps, for years. I'd never watched a soap.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about it. So I frequently had to ask the producer, listen, when I say that this guy has died in this promo, is that a good thing or a bad thing? I mean, are we waiting for this guy to die? Or is it, oh, no, Charlie's dead. So
interesting.
I know something about it. It's fun.
Love the Food Network. We have a gourmet Greek restaurant here that has the Food Network on.
Oh, they play it.
And you're going, God, that looks even better than what I'm eating.
That's weird. You know? I've never been to a restaurant where they would show a food.
It's
bizarre
great.
To me.
It's wonderful. No, it's a
Food Network. Great people there too. I don't really run into anybody in the promo world that was nasty or, you know, I didn't have any issues.
That's good.
Well, let me ask you this, Rick, because this really goes to the meat of the matter. Our audience, we're all voice actors. Everybody wants to be doing what you're doing. Why is it so hard to get into promo? Why is it that there's just a couple of hands full of people that are really have a grip on that marketplace? And I'm sure you don't want to let it go. But
oh, no. No, okay. Listen. Hey, right. I'm an actor first. And actors, most of my actor friends are still waiting tables. You know, it's a tough gig. It really is. And I'm one of the guys. I can honestly say it is I lucked out. There's a lot of guys who have a voice like mine. There are people that have deeper and richer, and they can do a lot of tricks to their voice. I think it's there's a lot of networks now, and every network wants a voice. And it's different than it used to be. There's some wonderfully talented voiceover guys. They used to be like the voice of NBC for 20 years. You know, they just don't do that anymore. Now networks like NBC will have a handful of voices. This guy does primetime. This guy does daytime. This guy does the comedies. This guy does the dramas. And, you know, they've got women doing it, which is wonderful finally. And, all these things come up. There's really just, my agents were even telling me the other day, there's just a handful of people they know who are like the signature voice for a network. It's tough to do, but I have to say, if I were to give anyone advice, so if someone gets a shot at a promo network job, to be the signature voice of, the most important thing you can do, more than whatever equipment you have or your technique, be a nice guy or woman. Be nice. You know, ultimately, they have to work with you every day. Every day I'm recording AMC stuff in the booth. Be nice. That's really important.
Easy to overlook that occasionally when you get a little, something gets stuck in your craw, you know, or somebody rubs you the wrong way or...
Yeah,
you know,
you think about it, like, I'm not big in ditches. I'm in an air-conditioned booth in Malibu,
Malibu sucks.
Come on. If somebody wants you to do another take, do another take, That's okay. Do it.
Yeah. And you're doing it from home.
I am, and I'm doing it courtesy of George. He's put together every studio I've had. And, George, I've known you...
A long time.
A long, long time.
At least 6 years.
Yeah, you were working with... Howard Parker.
Howard Parker, yeah. May be one of my first five clients, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know Howard Parker and I and Tony Rogers were some of the first people to work with Jason Markstown. Jason Marks became, he was my voiceover. He was the guy who heard me at Don Buchwald. Mm-hmm. He became a voiceover manager, which is different than an agent. So he's got a small pen, a corral of voices. And he pretty much does promo and trailer for the most part, and some animation. I do almost everything from here. I've been spending a lot of time at Warner Brothers doing a cartoon. An animated, thing that I can't talk about. That's kind of the only time I have to go away.
Yeah. Can you show us around a little bit, or what you've got in there, or?
Here's my talkback, Mike. Sorry.
Well, I think you just unplugged yourself there.
Probably knocked the camera out when you moved that. Unfortunately,
it's right
there. Oh, he's back. There he is. Okay.
This thing right here, that's the side of my booth. Let's see. See if I can actually show you around.
It's a whisper room.
Let's see here.
Yeah. Let's see. No, I can't really show you.
Don't worry about it.
Let's see. Yeah. There. That is the booth.
Oh,
right
okay.
There.
Yeah.
And this is, look, I'm in a garage. It's just a garage. That's it. My desk, my tattoos. This is what happens when you're in a booth all day. You start thinking of new and inventive ways to destroy your flesh. Certainly found a few.
Yeah. What kind of equipment are you using in there?
So George can tell you better than I, but one of my favorite things to say is that my preamp, what's the preamp, George?
Oh, do you want me to tell everybody what it is?
Well, I don't know. Is that Is there a reason we shouldn't?
No. It's just I love telling people that it's not an expensive, fancy Prius.
Well, that's all we can say. It's really not expensive. And at one point, we did buy a very fancy one, stuck it in there. And it just turns out that for whatever reason, my voice sounds good on the cheapie.
The DBX 286A.
That's it.
It's a $200. I've been using
that, yeah. Yeah, since I've started. I mean, that's the first thing I've had.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing I've done is bought a new one. That's it.
Right. And even then, the reason you bought a new one is because your expert had something plugged into the wrong spot.
Yeah.
Whoever that guy was, I'm glad you fired him and then found me. But anyway. Yeah. But yeah. So you don't have a Zephyr anymore because there's no ISDN. So Source Connect is getting used a bit.
That's right.
What else?
Good to hear.
416 shotgun mic. You had a TLM 103 you tried for a while, and the 416 was just, you know, just the mic that worked.
George has also put together for me a mobile kit that I take everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I am going to Kalamazoo. It's my grandmother's 90th birthday.
Ooh.
I'll go to Kalamazoo, and yeah, I got to record. So George taught me all the tricks of what kind of hotel to find and what to ask for, and he's a great resource for this.
Have you used the trick yet where you...
I love this trick. Who told you this?
I can't say. And okay. It's probably because I can't remember. But they probably said, don't say... They probably said, don't tell anybody where you heard this.
Yeah, where you heard
so
this.
Good. But the trick is, if you're in a hotel, I'm going to tell you to do this. Steal the do not disturb signs off the car. And you put them on all the doors around your room so they don't clean them, so you don't get any vacuuming or cleaning sounds while you're recording. It's terrible.
I think that was Harlan Hogan. I think we could say that now. It's been a while.
Done the thing where I've dismantled my bed and made a teepee out of it and threw blankets over it. I mean, we've all played sport.
Yes. Have you unplugged the Pepsi machine though?
No. Oh, you have?
No, I haven't done it. But Harlan's
had
done that. Or
Pepsi before, and I thought maybe that's you.
No. Sorry.
If you unplug the Pepsi machine, if you unplug the ice machine, then you're really playing with fire.
Yeah. I had no idea.
It's broke. But, you know, I know not to be anywhere near any of the big generators and to make sure that you've got a hard line Ethernet and to stay away from the elevator banks and the ice machine. So all that stuff. And get a better shot at getting a decent sound.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to be back with Rick in just a couple of minutes here. And if you've got some questions, throw them in the chat room. We'd like to, if you want, well, we got them, ask them. And we'll be, that's right. We'll be right back here at East West Audio Body Shop with Rick Wasserman. So stay right where you are.
VoiceOver Extra, the voiceover industry's online news, education, and resource center 24/7. Hundreds, probably thousands of free how-to articles for voiceover success, ranging from home studio to voice acting to business. A free voiceover industry directory, calendar of industry events, resource links, a store, and much more. Bi-monthly webinars on all topics of voiceover, free subscriptions to newsletters, reports, announcements, daily news, and features at voiceoverextra.com.
So what else are you planning on doing tonight? I thought so. Now back to East West Audio Body Shop with Dan and George.
And we're back. And, you know, we were just talking about him. Harlan Hogan.
Yes.
Got great stuff. If you go over to VoiceOver Essentials, you can pick up stuff like the Harlan Hogan Signature Series headphones.
Hey.
That's right.
Are you wearing a pair there, Rick?
Anywhere, hey, they're Rick.
Voice optimized.
These are great headphones. I like them. You're saying, why aren't you wearing them now? Because I'm not using them right now because I like to have the freedom to move. But when you are needing of really good headphones for editing and stuff like that, these are great because they really do. They're comfortable. They sound, they're optimized for voiceover. What they do is they don't overemphasize the low end. They're far more natural. Mm-hmm. And they're flat across the spectrum, which is most headphones are not. I mean, if you've got, you know, Sony's or what do you wear, George? Those
I have the Beyerdynamic DT770s. That's the ATM50s or something. One of those things.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. headphones are a really unique thing. You know, everybody has a different taste. And the thing is, once you've worn a certain headphone for a while, you program your brain to be in love with that headphone. So,
because that's what you used to.
Yeah. So if you're a longtime headphone wearer, try them out. He does give you like a 30-day return policy. Try them out. See if they work for you. It will take you a week or two to get used to a different sounding headphone. But the reason I say it might be worth it is because these things are built really well. The ear pads are actual leather. The headband is actual leather. So they shouldn't start degrading and falling apart on you like so many other headphones do when you wear them hours and hours and hours a day. So
memory foam. He put memory foam and leather on the ear pads.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing. Mm-hmm. And the Twistaflex headband, too, mm-hmm. which very, very comfortable.
Ain't too bad.
And they dispense tequila when you finish.
Yeah. That's version 2.0. I think he's working on that.
He's working on that.
They're still in R&D on that.
You can get those over at voiceoveressentials.com. Great buy, great headphones to have for when you're doing voiceover. For listening to music, they're a little different. But mm-hmm. for voiceover, they're fabulous. Mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. that's what you want. If you need to have good headphones, give those a shot. They're also made out of aluminum. There's no plastic in here.
Yeah, they're
quality all the way around.
They're built to last.
That's right. So go over to voiceoveressentials.com and buy a pair of those and everything else he has in his store, because it makes it a lot easier for you, because he's picked out the best stuff and has his own signature series stuff that you can use in your voiceover studio and at a great price point, like the VO1A and the Portabooth Pro and the Portabooth Plus and, you know, the ABS strap that'll hold your microphone from falling over, all sorts of great stuff. So go over to voiceoveressentials.com. Thank you, Harlan, for making EWABS possible.
Thank you, Harlan. Anyway, back to our originally scheduled program.
Yes. Well, that was scheduled, too.
Kind of.
Yeah, I just broke the schedule. That's all.
Anyway, we got, do you have more questions that you had lined up, Dan? Because otherwise, we got some stuff sort of flowing. It's been flowing in from the chat room over the last 10 or 15 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, we've got somebody was asking about what we were talking about earlier with mic technique, because you use a 416. What type of technique do you use? And I mean, how far do you, you know, how do you use your 416? Because I want to learn so I can learn how to use
mine. I'd like to give credit to whoever asked the questions too from now on. Because people like being, people like being acknowledged,
People need a shout out once in a while. I do this thing that I call, I dance with the mic. And the dance is how to do intimate voiceover, like Mad Men promos and Walking Dead. They're all very intimate. In fact, if I'm at some kind of networking party or something and someone goes, oh, you're the voice of AMC, let me hear it. Well, I can't, you know, I gotta have to crawl in your ear to get as close as I can get to that mic. And the dance is, how do you get this close without getting the sounds of your throat and liver and everything going into this mic without popping it constantly, because I don't use a sock or windscreen or it just means I kind of, you know, I'll talk past the mic a little bit, when I have a plosive coming up, I'll just shift my head just a little bit. So people who have watched me in the booth think I'm nuts, or like that I've got tics because I'm constantly moving my head and, you know, ducking my head and moving it down. And tics, so, yes, I kind of dance my face around the mic for these kind of intimate things. And then, of course, I do a lot of auditions here. I do all my auditions here. So I do a lot of video game auditions, which requires a lot of screaming for the characters I play. They're all bad guys. And yes, then of course I smash myself up against the back of the wall and crank the dials, and then I could scream. So yeah, I can't just stand in the middle of the booth. I just don't.
Yeah.
That's acting. You have to have physicality. That's
I think so too. That's a big thing for me. I mean, no one's watching you. I hope they're not. So I use my hands and I make faces, and the great thing is for animation, sometimes they'll give us, you know, a picture of what the character looks like that they're looking for, and I'll actually try to make myself look like that, because if he's got like a big jaw and, you know, big teeth or something, if I can do that with my mouth, chances are it's going to sound like that guy's voice a little bit better.
Yeah. Now you're doing some stuff. You're doing some coaching, and I think you've got an actual seminar coming up. Do you not?
I do. I have my first promo seminar. It's good that we're talking about promo at the Don LaFontaine Voiceover Lab at the SAG Foundation. Is May 9th. That's this Thursday from 7 to 9. I know that there are a couple seats available still if anyone's interested. But of course, you have to be a a union member, and you have to have completed, I think, parts one and two of the voiceover lab orientation in order to take it.
Okay. Yeah. Gotcha.
But this is the first time I'll be there, and I have proposed an animation workshop, which I know that they're interested in, so maybe that'll be coming along, and hopefully the promo thing will come along again and again. I have started private coaching from this studio. The only trick is you have to come to Malibu. That's the only trick. Although not a bad thing. I mean, you get to ride the coast, and then you get to do a little voiceover, and then ride the coast home.
So. Ain't so bad.
Yeah, not so bad.
Nice drive.
Yeah, it's really great. So yeah. You can go to rickwasserman.com, my name, or you can go to one-on-onevoiceovercoaching.com or voiceovercoach.com, one-on-onevoiceovercoach.com. It'll take you to the same place, but it breaks everything down and what you'll learn. And I also have a one-month intensive, and there's six people maximum to the class.
All right.
And it is, like I said, 1 month long. We meet twice a week for 3 hours at a pop, and we cover everything. And everyone gets in the booth every day, multiple times. And it's kind of the practical approach to voiceover. There's very little theory involved. It's, this is how you do it. And like I said, I think I never took a class. I had one, a guy from the Connecticut School of Broadcasting came to my grad school in Kansas City for a weekend. That's all I ever got. So everything else I had to learn the hard way. Like, I remember I was doing something for HBO and they said, Rick, for this, could you just give us an ABC? And I went, ABC, ABC. I don't know what they want. They wanted me to say something three times. I thought they wanted me to say ABC because I'm an idiot. So
Beetlejuice.
I mean, I don't know what I'm doing. But anyway, I teach all that for people who have no idea what's going on. It's a good way to start.
That's probably might as well start at the top.
There's a few more questions. Before we get Rick back to his family, because he's got two little kids and a wife, and you know we don't want to keep him too long. But Kathy's been typing him in for me. Casey asks suggestions for women in regards to what? I'm not sure. It just says suggestions for women, but maybe in regards to promo.
How do women break into promo?
Well, all I know is this. More and more women are doing promo now, which is really great.
Yeah.
There are some women who have been doing promo for a while, and they are kind of the anchors. They've always been doing it. Even with trailers, you get more and more women doing trailers. My manager now manages more women, and all he does is promo and trailers. So there really is a spot. I know Cedaring Fox is a friend of mine. We both do something called Primetime Voices for Children, where we, Joe Cipriano, Paul Pitt, we're all part of this group where we're all voiceover people who go to children's hospitals and read to kids, because what else can we do? We can read, make voices. But Cedaring was there. Cedaring just did the Academy Awards. You know, she did the whole thing. So women can do it. There's no reason why they shouldn't. They just haven't historically been doing it. But of course they should. And not just on Lifetime or We.
We're not stuck in the script of Mad Men, right? I mean, you know, we're moving on.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yes, I see what you're saying.
Trying to tie it all together.
Yeah. Go beat up Mad Men. Come on. Yeah, absolutely. They should be doing it. They can do it. And the best thing you can do, I think, is start listening to the women who are doing it, because they're booking the work. Listen to what they're doing. They've done it. They are the front runners here.
Casey also asked, do you have any guest TV stars, TV spots coming up that you're going to be on? Actual acting on camera stuff?
Wouldn't that be nice? I would love to say yes. You know, I actually have it written on my website. I used to be an actor who did voiceover on occasion.
Mm-hmm.
Things changed. Now I do voiceover, and I maybe get one or two TV shows in a year.
Mm-hmm.
I just had a really good audition for a new show on Showtime. Their programming is really great, too, their original programming.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So fingers crossed. We'll see.
And Casey also asks, well, so what is an ABC? Will you share that with us really quickly? Just a little nugget.
Here it is. So the ABC is very often a producer or director who knows what they're talking about, knows the lingo, will say, give us an ABC on this line. And really what they want is the line, that one line to be read three times.
Three different ways, right?
So your first one is your straight read. Maybe the next one is a little sexier. Maybe the other one is a little more stern. You can come up with what ABC you want. That is what flavor you want each one to be. But that's what they're looking for. They're looking for the same line with some subtle variation. That's ABC.
Gotcha. So that's the part where you really get to be creative as the voice actor in creating these three different
styles.
Absolutely.
And that's even within promo. Everyone thinks, you know, you can only get creative once you start doing animation and video games. Mm. It's not true. You know, at every step of the way, you really have to start, you know, playing. It is, there's some improv involved. I just took a private coaching session for me because I'm always looking to get better with Carol Kimball. Anybody knows who Carol Kimball is? She's just the greatest. She's a voiceover casting director, and she knows what to listen for and what to get out of people. And she's always saying, Rick, when you do a promo or when you're doing a commercial, consider yourself on camera. That's a great tip, by the way. Mm. When you're doing it, just consider that you're doing it on camera. So it's not Budweiser, the king of beers. You're looking at someone, you're going, Budweiser, the king of beers. You know, that way it automatically makes it a bit more intimate. It's directed.
Connect.
You've got some circumstance, partner, action, objective, all your kind of acting tools.
Yeah.
Carol's brilliant. But take my class.
Take your class first.
She's great, but hey.
Well, Rick, it's been great having you on. We know we want to get you back to your family, and we've been looking forward to meeting you for a while. And, of course, after EWABS, what do I usually do on Sunday night? I go watch
Mad Men.
See? that's fabulous. My wife's going to go, so who is your guest tonight?
This guy.
Anyway, thanks for being with us tonight. And, you know, it's great that, you know, someone like you can come on and tell us what a wonderful world it is doing, you know, some of the stuff for the networks and how do you work your way up there to get there? And we appreciate it. So good luck to you. And we'll have you on again sometime when you're maybe doing another show or something, or you picked up another network or are running all the networks.
You know.
All right. Rick Wasserman, thanks for
Take
being
care.
With us tonight.
Thanks.
Thanks a lot,
All
Rick,
right.
man.
Okay. Well, are we still here?
Yeah, we're still here.
Oh, okay.
We didn't have anything, you know, we were going to go to a spot right now, but we don't have
That's to. Because I F-U'd that one up.
But we don't have to. We can do whatever the hell we want.
That's right. This is our show. Well, thanks to Rick Wasserman
our
for
show.
Doing it.
Yeah, no, that was
What awesome. A nice guy.
No, he is. That's why I love doing this. It's like I could be working for music producers and, you know, that kind of stuff. But man, voice actors are just gracious people, really nice, and you know, everybody, no matter how successful, you know, they've been or look on the outside, everybody goes through career swings, you know. And I've talked to Rick about, you know, how he's dealing with this or dealing with that, and
right.
you know, we talk about that stuff. And you know, there are a lot of voice actors who are getting into coaching, you know, because they have really do have something that, you know, to share that is obviously of value, because if they made it this far, they must know something. And not everybody's a good teacher, but Rick is one of the good teachers, and he's been, you know, in workshops, and he's taken notes on other teaching styles, and he wants to connect, and he doesn't want to be, he just wants to be nice, but he wants to be giving you the right information. So, right. you know.
He sounds like somebody you just want to meet.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe I'll get the chance.
I've genuinely liked going to his place and working with him and hang out with his family, you know, when I get a chance. Just, yeah, great people in here in the biz.
All righty. Well, let's move on. Yeah. Hey, anybody in the chat room still at FAF Camp or come back from FAF Camp?
Yeah, if anybody was at
We
FAF
haven't heard
camp.
Any reports. I mean, I've seen a couple of pictures and stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm supposing it's magnificent.
Hopefully we'll get a nice video report next week from somebody. Hint, hint, Tony Gettig. Are you there, Tony Gettig?
No, he's not in the chat room. No. I don't think he has internet access.
Yeah. No, we're hoping we get some cool stories from FAF Camp to share with you guys next show.
Yep.
Hopefully
some pictures.
Yeah.
Well, what do we got now?
What's
that?
Well, I got the tech update.
Oh, the tech update. Proceed.
Yeah, you know, that new thing I just threw into the show notes that you haven't seen yet. You know, that thing.
Oh, that thing. That wasn't there before.
No, it's like, it's rare that I have time to sit down and do like show prep, but today I actually did some and I didn't warn.
Because I didn't. I was
I didn't warn Dan. Yeah, he was busy all day. You know, I subscribe to a lot of RSS feeds about the technology of audio, computers. I listen to tech shows. I read the blogs, you know, all that stuff. And stuff that comes along once in a while looks, you know, I'll try to bring it up here. So that's the part of that show where I'll give you my little tech update. But one of the things that's popped up that was on a segment shot by Pro Audio. Oh boy, I'm having one of those brain. I like to call it a brain fart. I'm having one
we
of those.
We can say
right
that
now.
This isn't network TV.
Yeah, I'm having a brain fart. But just like I walked around NAMM Show and shared video clips from products, I found one about this product that somebody else did because it was at the Music Messe show, which is in Germany, which is a huge trade show for pro audio and everything. And this thing I found is called the SPL Crimson. And it's yet another one of these all-in-one little desktop-mounted USB audio recording devices. But what I think makes this thing unique is that it's made by, first of all, a really high-end company from Germany called SPL. They make stuff that most of you have probably never heard of the brand, first of all, because they really don't market to home studio people per se. But home studio is the biggest segment of the market now, right? Everybody needs to make stuff that you guys would actually want. And so these guys are catching up. And so they're making this thing called the Crimson. And what's so cool about it is a simple device. So it works like an M-Box. It's got a minimum number of knobs. But what's so cool about it is it's a really high-end mic preamp, like really, really super clean, high transparency preamp, or two of them actually. And then it also has a lot of flexibility in the routing. I'm going to see if I can get a picture of this thing in the screen here. Here we go. Right over Dan's face. But what's so cool about it is it's got really high-end preamps. It does have a high-pass roll-off, which a lot of mics, studio mics these days, don't have that high-pass filter. It's got it built in. It's got a push button for each input. And it's got very flexible audio routing. So you can really... decide what you want to monitor at one time. You can, if you're using ISDN, you could actually hook up an ISDN box to this and basically eliminate the need to have another mixer device. And this is getting closer to what I would consider like the ultimate all-in-one home voiceover studio device, you know, that can really do everything you really need in one box. This is about the closest I've seen so far. So this thing's really new. It's really not on the market yet. I think it's scheduled for July release. But I just thought I'd share here because it was, you know, I see these things come up all the time. I see all these devices, but they always seem to miss one little element. And this is the closest I've seen to having all the right, checking all the right boxes, so to speak, when it comes to an audio device.
Yeah. Now, Devox is asking, he says, you said there's a high quality preamps compared to what?
Well, yeah, of course, compared to what, right? You know, this is apparently street price on this thing is going to be $500 or under. Right, for this unit. So for something that's USB and has all the I/O, that is pretty inexpensive for something that's this caliber. Compared to what? I can't really quantify that. It would be very difficult. I would say that being the price point that they're looking at, it's going to compare very favorably to the Apogee Duet, for example. You know, it's in the same kind of price ballpark. The reason I kind of like this device, though, maybe more than the Apogee Duet, is that it's not dependent on special software to operate it. The Apogee Duet.
Standalone unit.
Yeah, this thing will work as a standalone unit. First of all, you don't even have to plug it into USB if you just want to use it as a preamp. If you just want to use it as speaker monitor controller or as just a way to monitor your studio, it will fully function without USB connected at all. So it's very flexible that way. And then you can plug it in with USB, but it's powered by its own power supply too. So, you know, it's got some unique functions and because of that. SPL, again, they don't make junk. You know, maybe you could say they're slumming it a bit by making this $500 USB audio interface, but they insist that it has the same preamps that they use in their much more expensive, higher-end rack equipment for studio recording. So I think SPL is known for accuracy. I think their preamps are known, and a lot of German stuff is known to be extremely clean, extremely accurate, not colored. And in my opinion, that's mostly what you're looking for in a home voiceover mic preamp setup anyway. It's just transparent and accurate. So that's probably what you're going to get out of this box. So anyway, stay tuned for that thing. I will hopefully get my hands on one of these. I'm going to be in their ear.
Maybe they'll send us one.
Yeah, I'm going to be in their ear and talking about this thing because I think it's one of the more exciting things I've seen in a while. That's still affordable. And I consider under $500 is a reasonable bar to to achieve for most home studios, considering this is the only box you need to buy. You know, it's pretty cool.
Right.
What else is going on?
We got time for a NAMM clip tonight.
Sweet. Let's do a NAMM clip. So a quick poll in the chat room. Do you want to see one about the CAD E100S microphone, the Audio-Technica 5040, or the Audio-Technica 2020 microphone? Which one you guys want to see? Everybody chime in quick.
Yeah. Yes.
Yes.
CAD E100s. Come on. Right. You guys have keyboards. So let's see here.
The There's a little delay on.
Yeah.
There's a little delay on the Ustream.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah. Trumpet guy, he wants to know about the 2020.
That's my dad. Love my dad.
I know who Trumpet guy is.
2020. They're still rolling in.
It looks like a close one
between 20 and 25. You know what? I'll play the 2020 and the 5040. They're not that long. They're pretty short.
All right.
So let me drop that one in here first. So we'll start with the... Start with the affordable end of the spectrum with this 2020 video, and here we go. There's the USB 2020, but I'm sorry, the AT 2020 USB Plus. So they've upped the ante now. And so instead of the USB 2020 just being a USB-only microphone with no other connections, now it has a headphone monitor, so it's got zero latency monitoring and a monitor blend control how much of you versus the playback of the computer you're hearing, as well as the headphone volume control. So I think it's pretty much the same as the original, just with these added monitor and headphone volume controls. And I believe last time I checked, it's about $169, $160.
Hi, this is Gary Boss here at Audio Technica, and I wanted to show you the new AT5040. This is actually our flagship microphone in our new 50 series line. It's really kind of a ground up design that all proprietary, handmade in Japan. This is a fixed cardioid microphone. The thing that's nice about this, especially for voice acting and for voiceover work, is the fact that first of all, it doesn't get a lot of buildup of proximity, so you can work it nice and close. The second thing is, because of the way this is designed, you're going to notice that it's very unique with these four rectangular capsules. What that's going to do is give us a lot of the benefits of a large diaphragm microphone, the warmth, you know, the presence, the character of the microphone. But it's also because the diaphragms are smaller, it kind of acts like a large diaphragm and a small diaphragm, it's going to have very good transient response, which is going to make it a very articulate microphone. The other thing that's really nice about this is if you're in a booth, this has a 5 dB self-noise, which is really almost the limits of our testing capabilities. Has a tremendous sound pressure level use, which gives it a dynamic range of about 137 dB, which is probably going to be more than anyone's going to need out there. How's the output level? Does it need a lot of gain, or is it pretty high? The output level is near line level output. It's minus 25, so it's going to drive any preamp very, very adequately. So that's the AT5040. It's our flagship microphone in the new 850 series line from Audio Technica.
Hey everybody, this is Jeff Beck from CAD Audio, here to talk about the CAD Audio Equatec E100S USA series microphone. It's an awesome microphone. It has a nickel sputtered capsule, it's the 10 dB pad, high pass filter, warm, rich, fat sound. Great for voiceovers, great for vocals, great for drum overheads. I've used it for kick drum. I've used it with guitar amping configurations, all kinds of different stuff. Made right in Ohio, beautiful Ohio, and available now from CAD Audio.
Is it really low noise?
3.7 dBA noise floor. It is the lowest available large diaphragm condenser on the market that we are aware of today.
That's microphone candy.
I've got a few more. I'll throw the rest of them up on the YouTube channel for you guys to all check out.
Excellent. Yeah, microphones. They're microphones. Not a 416, though.
No, I didn't bring home any mics, guys. No, sorry.
bummer, man.
But no, the E100S is it's one of those mind-blowingly impressive mics for the price range kind of mics. It's under $500 and extremely low noise. Has a bit of a 416 kind of character to it because it's so directional. It's a super cardioid mic. And, you know, those things together, the super cardioid and the low noise, make it a really good voiceover mic for less than ideal home studio scenarios.
Yes. Well, we're going to learn a lot next week because I'm going to be using one.
Sweet.
Yeah, we'll have a 416 in here. We'll see if it makes me sound like Rick Wasserman.
Maybe we can, if I have the 416 still here, we'll both do it. We'll both be on the 416 for once.
That'll be cool.
Yeah, why not? Let's do it.
You know, we'll do everything in promo voice.
Exactly.
Yes, George.
Mad Men.
Yes.
Cool, can I get the...
You can do that.
Mad Men.
Mad Men. You have to slow it down. Mad Men.
Mad Men.
My favorite though is The Americans. I don't think he's doing those, but I like who's ever doing those.
Rick told me one time he had to do like the words madman or mad men. I'm sorry. He had to do it for 30 minutes until they got the right one, you know, the one that they really liked.
Madmen.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, cool mics. The 5040 is, you know, that's like a pie in the sky mic. It's like a $3,000 mic. But, you know, I think if you had a super quiet studio, you know, really, you know, really low noise floor, and, you know, you've already got a U87 and you're kind of tired of it and you're bored of it, you want to try something new, you know, maybe you could trade in for one of these, you know, what the heck.
Absolutely. Well, gee, look at the time.
Nice little bow. Yeah.
It's getting kind of late here. We got great people coming up. Mm-hmm. You thought Rick Wasserman was great, and he was. He was fabulous and a great guy. Next week, May 12th, we have Anthony Mendez joining us after being rescheduled. And what's some of the stuff that Anthony does?
So we know he does a lot of promo as well. So it's like promo guy week, and I believe he's gotten some trailer work happening too. I got to do my homework on him, man.
Okay,
I know he's an up and comer. He's like one of those guys that's been out there around. I've seen him we've all been in the community, but he's starting to blow up. So it'd be cool to hear his story. Yeah.
Yeah. On May 19th, the nicest guy in voiceover. Even nicer than you, George.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I just the nicest guy on the face of the earth, a guy who just walks the walk, talks the talk, a guy we all look up to. Bob Sauer is going to be on the show. And always looking forward to talking to Bob. It's just that when Bob is on, we just have to give him
space,
a little more time to talk.
And we will.
And we will, because he really is very deliberate in how he says things. And that'll be fun being in rapport with Bob. You know, an important thing about rapport is you really need to match people's tonality. And with Bob,
energy and tonality, yeah.
You just have to slow down just a little bit. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking forward to that. And then on the 26th, we have another Google Hangout. Great Google Hangout last week. So we want to do those when we can and get everybody involved. We had a lot of great people last week, so yep. Let's
usually
do that.
The last episode of the month, we usually will do a Google Hangout.
We'll do a Google Hangout, and then it's going to start turning into summer.
I know, and then we've got more people on the wings. I haven't looked at the list for June yet, but we're starting to book up people already. So we'll
outstanding. Yeah, but I met some great people over the week, and I think there would also be great guests on the show.
Oh, good.
And, you know, Dave McRae in Toronto and a few other folks. We got to get Pat Fraley back on, too.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's time. He was our guest zero.
Guest plus one. Yeah, he was.
Uh-huh. And he was on a phone. So we need to get him like either live here in the studio or at least on
Skype
or something.
Let's drag him into your house.
I'll tell him he can come on the show again, but he has to come to my house and do it live.
That's true. Yes. Now, I know for a fact that I will be coming to Southern California at the end of July.
Oh, cool.
That is a definite.
Good. Then we're going to do one live together.
That's right.
That'll be awesome.
And maybe we can drag Pat in for that one.
Oh, there you go.
Now, that would be fun.
That would be fun.
Pat can put me through some coaching stuff because he's great. You know, if you've seen him on stage doing sessions, because he was at Voice World in Toronto yesterday and really showing you how to really break down a script and stuff like that. And that's always fun. So we should get him on to do that.
And I finally have a webcam that has a wide enough lens that I could get all three of us in one shot at the same time.
That'd be great. Outstanding. Yeah. I'm looking forward to that. I'm just looking forward to coming to Southern California and hanging out with you and your lovely wife and your growing beautiful daughter and all that fun
stuff.
She
was in an audition today, yes. Actually. She had to do an audition today. My wife said it was very weird. She said...
In what way?
She said that she had the kids lined up holding like their names and a number on a piece of paper. You know, these are 4, 3, and 4-year-olds and 5-year-olds. Yeah. And they were saying... Okay, and they were holding a handycam in front of each of their faces and going, okay, smile, you know, really kind of awkward. And my wife said the kids kind of looked at the camera and went, like, did this really awkward, like, this really awkward pensive smile. And then they were like, and then after they got everybody to smile on camera or try to get them to smile, they're like, all right, we're going to play some music now. Everybody dance. And my wife says they put on Smells Like Teen Spirit by Nirvana. And it's a high energy song, but these are 4-year-olds. They don't know what the heck this song is. They could have played anything, and they played that. And so most of the kids just stood there like, what? And one little girl danced, and Amy said Ella danced for about 5 seconds, and then when she saw the kid stop next to her, she was like, oh, I'm not going to dance either. So actually, I hope she doesn't get that gig, because this is not the kind of people you want to work with that don't know how to work with kids. So, yuck.
Yeah, really. All right. Well, that's going to do it for us this week. Of course, we'd like to thank our wonderful wives for putting up with this every week. Our fantastic producer, who's doing a great job getting all these guests lined up and all the other extra stuff we throw at her. Kathy Curran down in San Diego. Anthony Gettig hanging out in Charlotte, North Carolina tonight, but probably making his way back to Kalamazoo, the hometown of Rick Wasserman. Jason Lawson and Lee Penny for all their production assistance as well. Also, Larry Hudson and Sylvia McClure and Larry Davis and Elizabeth. Rosemary Benson for all the promotion and bumpers and drops and stuff. You guys, we love it.
Send us more.
You guys want to show us how creative you are. Send us some stuff.
Be part of the show.
It's an interactive show. And thank you, George.
And thank you, Dan.
All right. That's going to do it for us this week. And we'll see you next week with Anthony Mendez. And so have a great week and keep practicing, work at your craft, and call us if you need help. All right. Thanks. I'm Dan Leonard in the East.
And I'm George Whittam in the West.
And together we are East West Audio Body Shop. Take care, guys.
Have a good night.